ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय The next four names of the Vishnu Sahasranama have very similar meanings, if not completely synonymous. Pramodana, Ananda, Nandana, and Nanda. If chanted in the verse, remember these names all come in verses. So the verses goes Ajo Mahaha Swabhavyo Jita Mitra Pramodanaha Anando Nandano Nanda Satya Dharma Trivikramaha. You know that? You learned Vishnu Sahasranama? Your father taught that to you? Oh, you had it. Now, Baladev Vidya Bhushan, he gives the same meaning to each of the names, that he makes his pure devotees jubilant, their eyes filled with tears of joy. So I'm going to do them all together, although the commentators that I have access to, apart from Baladev, they all give somewhat different meanings. It's another of those names which are central, or the quality of Vishnu, Krishna, happy, central to his very personality and being and why we worship him. There are some names like that, Bhaktavatsala, in one way you could say that's the most important name. Sharan, he's the shelter of everyone. In one way you could say that's a name that's not specifically given him here, or names that suggest that he's very sweet, he's full of love. So there are certain qualities of him which are very important. Now, I guess you can all understand that and appreciate that, right? That he's full of bliss is a central quality of him. I must say that in all my years of being pumped with Christian catechism, we never heard that God was happy. It's just a foreign concept. He's powerful. He's angry. That's the... We better watch out. If you don't do what he says, you're going to be in trouble, which is true, but devotees don't stress that so much. They stress his kindness, his forgiveness. Well, kindness also, but there's a strange concept of kindness. He's kind if you do what he says. If you don't do what he says, then he throws you in hell forever. So he's happy. Great. So nice to be with a God who's happy. But what's the symptom of his happiness? There's a whole concept in the Western or the Abrahamic religions. The whole idea is God makes you happy by giving you sense gratification. But actually, that's one of the meanings that Shankara gives to the name Nanda. The fourth in this series of names, he gives it, if you split up the verse in different way, you can say the name is not Nanda, but Ananda. Now, Ananda means the same as Nanda, but A becomes an intensifier. A means not, and A means not. So Ananda means a lot of Nanda, which means very happy. Nanda, we can say, means happiness. Ananda means... But Ananda, we don't hear that word, Ananda. So he says that Shankara says that means he doesn't... There's no material happiness in him. So that's an important point to understand, that the happiness that we seek in this world is not the Satchit Ananda. That happiness is in him. Everyone looks for happiness. Every living being wants to be happy. Happiness is in Krishna because he's always fully happy. He's never miserable. And why should he not be happy? He is Aja Mahaha Swabhavya Jitamitra. Other names will come in this verse. Satya Dharma Trivikramaha. All great qualities. He's unborn. He's the most worshipable. He's situated in his own Swabhav. Oh, that's another important point I didn't bring up about Swabhav. Just came to my mind. Swabhavya. Is that in this material world, we're always disturbed because we're not situated in our proper position. Just like a child, the baby feels comfortable on the lap of the mother. If the child is taken away, feels, oh, now I'm not in my right position. So our right position is with Krishna. If we're not with Krishna, we're trying to be something else. We're trying to be a human or an animal. When we get a dog's body, we're trying to be a dog, but we're not situated in our own proper position. So we may think that I'm a big strong man and I'm a very powerful politician or whatever, but these are all false designations. It's not us. So naturally, in the core of our being, we feel disturbed because it's not really me. We're out of touch with ourselves. We're lost to ourselves. But Krishna, he's fully situated in himself. Sadatmasta. I quoted that verse while going through Swabhavya. So he conquers all his enemies. So he's got all reasons to be happy, and he is happy. Sometimes we find people in the material world, actually very often we find people who have all reason to be happy, you might think, from the material point of view. They have Janmaishvarya Shuta Shri. These are the four qualities that are supposed to make you happy. They're all symptoms of what is called good karmic reaction, although there's no really good karmic reaction, but it's considered like that. If one is born in a good family, prestigious family, if one is wealthy, if one is intelligent and learned and beautiful. And we see these things often go together. You don't usually find... Well, there may be cases that Stephen Hawking he's got a mixture of good karma of being intelligent, materially intelligent. Well, in some ways, his theories are stupid, but they're intelligently presented. And he's famous, respected, but he's also physically in very bad condition. So there may be mixtures, but often we find that people, they have all these things together. Good birth in a high family, prestigious family, wealth, and intelligence, and beauty. And the lack of them also usually comes together. But Krishna, yeah, but people may have all these qualities, but often they're miserable. They're not happy. So that doesn't bring happiness. Actual happiness is the very nature of Krishna. That is his swabhav. That name has just been discussed, Swabhavya. He's naturally very happy. That is his... He's just happy by nature. And he increases his happiness. He likes to share his happiness with his devotees. Real happiness comes in sharing, giving happiness to others. Even on the material platform, the most happy people are those who try to work for the benefit of others. Of course, they don't know what is the benefit of others. Krishna, he personally comes to this world. Why? To benefit. To benefit who? The devotees? And paritranaya sadhanam. And for the demons, vinashayata dushkritam. But that is also for their benefit. He destroys them for their own benefit, because really they're not demons at all. Everyone's an eternal servant of Krishna. So by destroying their situation, then he gets them out of that situation of the ignorance of thinking themselves to be his enemy. So that's his mercy on them also. He's always acting for the benefit of others, and he's very happy in this way. He's happy dancing. He likes to dance. When people are happy, then they'll express it verbally, and the best expression of happy words is poetry. Poetry translates into song, then you start singing. And then there comes music and dancing is the ultimate expression of happiness. And Krishna is always dancing. That's one reason why we, Gaurīya Vaiṣṇavas, we are more interested in Krishna as Krishna than in Vishnu, who is also Krishna, because he's always dancing. He likes to dance. He dances in the daytime with his cowherd boyfriends, and he dances at night with his cowherd girlfriends. He likes to dance. As a little boy, tiny, he can just stand up and the elderly gopis clap their hands and Krishna dances. After killing Kamsa and all the wrestlers, Chandra and Mushtika, and killed a few wrestlers and all the rest ran away, and then killed Kamsa. And then what did Krishna and the cowherd boys do in the arena? They started dancing, described in the Bhagavata. That's what they do. They love to dance. So dancing is the expression of happiness. And there are all kinds of dances. These people, they generally get intoxicated and then they dance. So they have very complicated dances which they learn. Ballet dancing, very complicated and difficult, but dancing in Lord Chaitanya's movement is very simple and natural and easy and blissful. Krishna is so blissful that he can't even understand how blissful he is himself. And he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to appreciate his own bliss and to share that with others. So that's a little overview of these names. Pramodana, Ananda, Nandana, Nanda. The name Pramodana, meaning is given, he who delights his devotees, he who is always joyful. He makes everyone happy, even materially and spiritually. Pious people, they pray to God to make them happy. Why do so many people go to Tirupati? They're not praying for love of God, but they're praying for some material benefit. They have the faith he'll give. He can give it. But really, he wants to give everyone spiritual happiness. Anyway, the pious people, what do they do? Akama sarva kamova moksha kama udara dihi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Everyone is recommended to worship Krishna. If you have material desires, worship Krishna. If you don't have material desires, worship Krishna. If you want to be liberated, worship Krishna. What is this? A karma, someone who has no material desire. Full of material desires. Desiring liberation. Why are people in these three categories? Because they think that by being like that, they'll be happy. Someone thinks, I'll be happy by not having any material desires. They're right. Ananda. Krishna is called Ananda. No, he doesn't take pleasure in this low-class material desires. Or even so-called high-class material desires. They're all low-class. Akama, sar. Someone who's full of desires. Why are they full of desires? Because they think, I'll be happy. And someone who desires liberation, they think, I'll be happy. So Krishna, he is the center. If we understand, Krishna's he is happiness. That's the meaning given to the word Ananda, or rather, it is the meaning of the word. He is bliss. So I want to be happy. It actually means I want Krishna. George Harrison wrote in the introduction to Krishna book, everyone is searching for Krishna, but most people don't know it. What does that mean? Everyone wants to be happy. Krishna is happiness. He is happiness. So what we're looking for in ice cream or going to the movies, or earning lots of money, or playing cricket, or whatever. Actually, we're looking for Krishna. That's what we're really. We don't realize it. And we may be so far away from realizing it that even if we're offered, here is Krishna, we say, no, I want to play cricket. Or I want to eat seafood, or whatever it may be. We'll think that crunching on some crabs' bodies, that is happiness. Prabhupada mentions that in his purport to the Nectar of Instruction, verse 1, that people, they take pleasure in eating things, and he mentions crabs. Some people like to eat crabs. Would you like to eat crabs? No, not a good idea. But some people, oh, very nice. Very good. Oh, strange how this spirit soul who's meant to be all blissful has so much, his consciousness is so much changed, so much divert, what's the word, transformed in the wrong way. So, Krishna is always joyful. We see he always looks happy. You see the deity of Krishna. Of course, it's made by a sculptor, according to the rules of Shastra, Shilpa Shastra. He's always made with a smile, because that's his natural tendency. Of course, Krishna may sometimes be angry, but his natural countenance is always to be happy. And when we see Krishna, we also feel happy, unless we're some kind of demon. But naturally, if you we enter a temple, very pure atmosphere. We come before Krishna. Oh, how beautiful is Krishna! We appreciate everything about Krishna. Makes us happy. He's beautiful. He's charming. he's merciful. So just thinking about Krishna makes us happy. Krishna recommends, Manmana, think of me. Why should we think of Krishna? And naturally we become happy thinking of Krishna because he's always full of joy. He fills with joy the minds of those who meditate on him. That's the meaning given here. Pramodam karoti iti pramodanaha. So that's the idea. We should always think of Krishna. Why did Prabhupada take so much trouble to preach Krishna consciousness? He would preach, always think of Krishna, because he wanted to see others happy. So that word, moda, means happiness, and pramoda means enhanced happiness. So the commentators say that moda means, it suggests material happiness. There's one word for sweet preparation in Sanskritam. In ladu is a common word, but modaka, that which makes you happy. So that's happiness in the mode of goodness. Not to eat too many, but sweets. Brahmana modaka priya, that's the saying. The Brahmanas, they like sweets. That's material, but pramodana, one who delights his devotee. He's happy and he makes his devotees happy. He wants to make others happy, but only devotees can appreciate him. Connecting this to the previous name, what's the previous name? Jitamitra, he who conquers the enemies. The devotees take happiness in him. He is pramodana. He makes the devotees happy because he destroys all the bad qualities in the devotees, which are obstacles to them coming to him. So they feel very happy. Oh, Krishna's helping me to come to him by helping me to overcome all this attachment, fear, anger, vitaraga, bhayakra, krodha. He helps me to overcome all these things. and they feel very happy. And they, when these things are removed, they feel happy that Krishna is helping me. The devotees feel happy, and they feel happy when actually these things are removed from their heart. Then one becomes purified, puta madbhavamagataha. So they become happy when these things, when one is purified from these. Vitaraga bhaya krota manmaya mamuparshvitaha bhava gyana tapasa puta madbhavamagataha. Taking shelter in Krishna, many people by knowledge and austerity, they became purified and attained to my nature, Krishna says. So one becomes happy. Dukha dure gelo. Now, we just sung this song. What is that? Atmanivedan tuapade kore hoino paramashuki. By fully offering myself to you, surrendering to you at your lotus feet, I become supremely happy, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. Dukha dure gelo. All distress has gone far away. Dukha dure gelo. Chintana rahilo. I have no more distress. Chodike ananda deki. Everywhere I see just happiness. So devotee becomes happy by Krishna's grace, experiences that. And the devotees, when they become happy, then Krishna also becomes happy, just like the parents like to see the children happy. So this is the very happy exchange between the devotees and Krishna. Mm. So the desire to be happy in material life is just a perverted reflection of the actual happiness which is found in Krishna. But even if we're in Maya and we completely forget Krishna, which means being, that's what being in Maya means, but still that nature of us to be happy and want to be happy, it's absolutely central to our nature. Because we are part and parcel of Krishna, who's happy by nature. So even though we become totally in Maya, our basic nature doesn't change. But our attempt to fulfill the desire to be happy is completely misdirected. The next name. So the Pramodana, one who makes his devotees especially happy, and himself who is always joyful. Ananda is the next name, he who is bliss. Now, Parashara Bhatta, the Sri Vaishnava commentator, he interprets the next few names in terms of the Kapila avatar, the first name in the next verse is Kapila Acharya. I need that printout. Because we're going through four names here today. He's called Ananda. He is bliss. He is bliss. If we say bliss, that means Krishna. If we say Krishna, that means bliss. The two are inseparable. There's no happiness without Krishna. And Krishna means there must be happiness. Must be happiness. Hmm. Now, Kapila Devi is being described. And why Kapila? He was completely renounced from this world. And why materialists may think, how can you be happy like that? Materialistic people say that people renounce the world just because actually they want to be happy and with sense gratification, but they couldn't get it, so they renounce. That may be true of some people, but in frustration. Actually, they desire material happiness, but their karma doesn't allow, so they renounce. out of frustration. But the higher level of renunciation is to see there's nothing in them. It's completely useless. They don't desire it at all. So someone may renounce, but he's still full of... He may formally renounce the world, but he's still full of material desires. Just he's trying to negate them. But the higher platform is one who is beyond all material desires, or he's at least he's understood that there's nothing in that. So it may be that one has formally renounced the world, but his heart is full of so many material desires. Now, the one who's on a higher level, he thinks, no, I don't want to be full. I don't want this lust, greed, anger. I don't want all that. I leave that behind. Now, the materialistic person may think, well, we need to have desire, otherwise we can't enjoy. Just like there may be a plate of food, but if you're feeling sick, you don't want to eat it. Or if you just already ate a big plate of food, then you can't enjoy it. So a plate of delicious food, we shouldn't be talking about that on Akadashi. We shouldn't be talking about enjoying anything anytime. But anyway, it's an example. A plate of delicious food is something enjoyable. But if we are diseased or already full, then the desire is not there. So we can't enjoy it. So desire is required to enjoy. Then how can you be happy? If you don't have desire, the materialist may think. But the spiritualist or the transcendentalist knows that if we conquer over jitamitra, that name is just there, conquer over this desire to enjoy stops us from being happy. Doesn't seem to make any sense. If I can't get any pleasure from that plate of food if I don't desire to enjoy it. If I'm sick, I can't get any pleasure from it. Some kinds of sickness. In some kinds of sickness, you still desire to eat and you can eat, but then it just makes you more sick. So for the materialists, they just can't understand because they think that happiness, they can only understand it in terms of material sense pleasure. But the devotees, they're on a higher platform. Ramante yogino nante satyananda jiratmani iti rama padena so param brahma vidhiyate. The devotees, they're on the platform of relishing the spiritual bliss. Who is Lord Rama? Who is known as Rama? He's called Rama because he is unlimited, actual bliss, satyananda, spiritual. Therefore the yogis, they take pleasure in him. So materialists, they just can't understand. For them, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. I remember once in London on Oxford Street, which is the most famous street in London, in the daytime on a chanting party, we were chanting Harinam along the pavement, there was a bus, London bus, stuck in the traffic jam as we were going by blissfully. And I just saw the bus driver who was stuck in a... What do you think? Is that very blissful, being stuck in a traffic jam, driving a bus? Not very blissful. And we're chanting there all blissful, and the driver looked at us and he shook his head like this, as if to say, those people are just stupid. But it's a clear case of ya nisha sarva bhutanam tasya. What is it? Tasyam jargati sangyame. What's the next line? Anyway. Tasyam jargati sangyame. Sa nisha pashute mane. That's the last line. Anyway, it's night and day, black and white. What's black is white for the... What's black for the spiritualist is white for the materialist, and vice versa. So, Brahmananda, state of spiritual bliss. Krishna is Brahma, he is Param Brahma. So Brahma means Ananda. Spiritual existence means Ananda. So that is Krishna. He is joy, he is the joy giver, he is the giver of a joy which is Brahma Sukh. Brahma Sokhyam Tvanantam, Rishabhadev tells his sons, don't be interested in that stool eater's Sukh, that stool eater's happiness. You do that Tapo Divyam, divine austerity to attain Brahma, a spiritual bliss which is eternal. Krishna, he is all bliss. That is his very nature, to be bliss. So Swabhavya, he's situated in his own blissful nature. There's no question of him ever being anything but fully blissful. If we want to be happy, the message is simple. If we want to be happy, then we have to be Krishna conscious. As long as our consciousness is not fixed on Krishna, then there's no question of actual happiness. There is in the... it's written here somewhere. Where is it said? In the Anandavali. Anandavali of Taittiriya Upanishad. There's a whole... One unit of happiness is taken as one who is young, handsome man, in control of the world, pious. That's, if you take that as one measure of happiness, and then you go up to the demigods, that their measure of happiness is 100 times more. That it goes up and up and up and up and up and up, and comes eventually to Brahmananda. So the highest happiness, or the state of complete happiness on this earth, it's just a speck compared to this, the Brahmananda, the happiness of the spiritual happiness, which ultimately means being with Krishna. Then Nandana, who gives happiness, that's very similar to the name then, all the names are similar, that's why Baladev, Pramodana, very similar to that. This name Nandana, there are so many names of Krishna. Nanda Nandana, Yashoda Nandana, Devaki Nandana, Yadu Nandana. Rama is known as Raghu Nandana. Raja Nandana, the giver of bliss to the... Brajokasa Nandana, the giver of happiness. Or maybe just... I saw just somewhere recently written someone's name, Sumitra Nandana. That would be? Well, yeah, but who's the son of Sumitra? Lakshman, Bharat, yeah, two brothers together. So, Lakshman Shatrughna. Yes, Sumitra Nandana. Then, the same name, the same meaning is given, Baladev Vidyabhushan, to all of them. He makes his pure devotees jubilant, their eyes filled with tears of joy. So, Baladev Vidyabhushan gives this name, which suggests that although Krishna has so many other reasons why he can be happy, you could list so many. He is Aja, he is Jita Mitra, he is all powerful, he's all beautiful. But the thing which really gives Krishna the most pleasure is giving pleasure to his devotees. So Baladev Vidyabhushan gives this meaning to all of these names. What a blissful God. How nice it is to be in Krishna consciousness, that we can be connected with him who likes to make us happy. But he's completely unselfish. But then to really access that happiness, we also have to become selfless. Give ourselves to him, he gives himself to us. Mm. So that bliss, it's not something which it, something which is measurable, it's not describable, it has to be experienced. And we can experience it to some extent, as much as we are Krishna conscious. Yeah, so yeah, they're all pretty much the same meaning. Nandana, that's Nandana, Nanda. Nanda means it's slightly different meaning. He who is bliss, Nandana, the bliss giver, Nanda, he who is full of things that are blissful. Yeah, all the qualities are in him to be blissful. Everything that's enjoyable. He has everything enjoyable. Krishna has the best food, the best clothes, the best girlfriends, the best mother, the best father, the best sword, the best shield, the best arrows. But actually, if a materialist gets all these things, it doesn't make him happy because he doesn't have Krishna. But that's not really what makes Krishna happy. What makes Krishna happy is things like his mother tying him up. His girlfriends calling him bad names. That's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. How he gets more pleasure, even though he's called Stava Priya. He takes great pleasure. He likes to hear the praises of himself in the Vedas, but he takes more pleasure in being rebuked by his loving devotees. So he's the source of all joy. He is all joy. He is actual joy. He can shower on anyone the supreme state of joy. Anyone who wants joy, they shall have to approach him. This joy is better than all the material joys put here. The pleasure that a devotee gets from offering a little food, a little fruit to Krishna is more than that of all the materialists' pleasure all put together. They can't even imagine. Okay, I'll finish that. Hare Krishna.